The data on this is hilarious. I say hilarious because if you were to poll a business, most people would say, you know, I sleep 6 hours a night and it does not affect my performance negatively. Or I drink coffee at 6 p.m. and it does not affect my sleep negatively. And then we put them in a lab and we do testing on them and their test scores are all affected negatively. So it's one of those things where, like, drunk drivers think, I'm okay to drive. Humans are notorious for thinking that their sleep isn't affected when it is affected.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome back. I am your host, Mike Hatch, and as usual, I will be joined by my co-host, best-selling author, Chris Bollinger, in just a moment. Welcome back, guys. This is the second half of our interview with Caleb Spittler, where we're investigating practical ways to get better sleep. In the first episode, we started talking about some of the background and why sleep is so important, both physically, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually, through our relationship with God. And now today, we're going to dive into some really practical, I think super helpful ways to start learning how to sleep better. So Caleb's going to help us out a ton with that. I'm excited to jump in. But just a reminder, we are a listener-supported podcast, so we would so appreciate your financial support if God would call you to do so, and you can go to our homepage at clchq.org to do just that. On the top right side, there's a big blue donate button. Just click that donate button. It'll open up a new window with a box. You designate how much you'd like to give. Click the drop-down menu and designate those funds to the National Fund. And then in the comments section, please just type in there, Empowered Manhood, so we know that you found us through the podcast. And then lastly, just a reminder, my book, Manhood Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, is out and available now. You can order it on Amazon. For those of you who've already ordered, thank you so much for your support. I'm really grateful. I am really excited to get the word out and impact as many people, as many men as possible. All right, guys, let's go ahead and jump in now to the second half of our interview with Caleb Spittler.
So I'm thinking about people. I've got a niece right now who's a resident, and you know, she doesn't have any choice. I mean, I don't know why they do this. I'm mystified by this. I mean, I've had cousins who are doctors, and they've all been through this where they just insist on, okay, you're working a 36-hour shift. I don't know why they do this, but they do. And there's nothing my niece can do about it. So one of my questions is, when you're in a situation like that and you really can't quit your job, I mean, you know, eventually it's going to get better, but right now you're just in a season where, you know, because of travel or because of the requirements of the residency or for whatever reason, you're just not getting a good night's sleep every night. So one of my questions is, can you catch up on sleep? I mean, are there any studies that say that, okay, well, you know, you're going to be up for 24, 36 hours, but then you're going to have a couple of days where you can sleep more normally. Is it possible for your body to catch up? What are some coping things you can do if not, so that you can function at a reasonable level when you're not forced to stay up for such long periods of time?
Yeah, well, I don't have a good answer for that scenario. It is a difficult scenario because, yeah, you are forced between either quitting something that you feel is right for your life or rejecting God's creational order, which, again, that might sound like a strong way to say it, but that's how society has built up this position. Just to encourage people that are in that position, I do think there are things that are more important than sleep. Certainly at times Jesus stayed awake late to pray and he got up early to pray. And I have friends recently who have really tried to work on their sleep, and they had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, came over recently, and they stayed up very late at their house sharing the gospel with someone. So there are times to sacrifice sleep. And I believe that there's a measure of resilience that God has created within us. Certainly people in the military, at times have to do missions that are going to, require a lack of sleep. As you mentioned, people in residency. So, of course, there's two ways to approach that answer. One, there needs to be reform. There just has to be changes to where people aren't, you know, made to go through these brutal shifts. But for her situation, yeah, there are things that you can do. Certainly, you can bank sleep. Again, this is something the military is working on, is giving people ample time to kind of oversleep, as it were, knowing that you're going to go into a time of lack of sleep. You can also definitely catch up on sleep. There's a measure in which it's not all going to be restored, but yeah, if you're kind of going through a 36-hour shift, and then you can, you know, I wouldn't be setting an alarm the next day. I would say sleep as much as you need, try to get as much as you can. So that's the quantity of sleep. A lot of people don't realize there's also the quality of sleep. So you go through different stages of sleep. And so if you're sleeping lighter throughout your night, you could actually sleep an 8-hour night and not get nearly the amount of restorative properties that are needed. And so those would be the two things that I would encourage somebody to is, yep, oversleep before and after, and then do whatever you can do to actually study how to get a deeper sleep. Because that can actually be a massive game changer for people. If they're able to hit, I know there's people out there, there's some health experts out there that are getting less sleep, maybe 6.5 hours of sleep, but they feel that they're getting such quality of sleep that they're still hitting all their targets.
So how do you get better quality then? That's an obvious question, because, you know, you may be in a situation where you just can't get 8 hours. So how do you get that? How do you make every hour count when you're sleeping?
Well, Chris, I charge people thousands of dollars for that answer, but I'll give it to you here for free. So
just give us a little bit, just a little bit.
No, I have no problem sharing all the everything behind. So I've kind of narrowed it down to four main pillars. I've read so many books on sleep. I spent essentially the last year, I only studied sleep, and to an intense degree. And so I basically narrowed it down to four major pillars. It spells sleep. So the first one is stimulants and supplementation. That's the S. The L is your lifestyle. So that's kind of refers to the timing of things. The E is your environment. And then the last one would be your emotional or your psyche, which I mostly pick that because it spells sleep, instead of just saying you're mental and emotional. But so
okay,
I can blaze through these somewhat quickly, but when I talk about supplements and stimulants, that's probably the least important, but it's worth being noted. So, you know, caffeine stays in your system for 10 hours. So even if you drink a coffee at 6 o'clock and you say, I fall asleep fine, you might fall asleep fine. You are not going to get as deep of sleep as you thought you were. So everyone right out there that's arguing with me now saying caffeine doesn't affect me, yes, this is a fact. This is not my opinion. Caffeine stays in your system for 10 hours. So if you've had caffeine, which is chocolate or coffee, it's going to affect the way that you sleep that night.
And that's in a way that you can't perceive, it sounds like, is what you're saying. You won't know that it's affecting you because your sleep, when you're obviously you're asleep and you can't assess the value of your sleep that you're having in the moment, yes, but you're saying it affects that.
Yes. And the data on this is hilarious. I say hilarious because if you were to poll a business, most people would say, you know, I sleep 6 hours a night and it does not affect my performance negatively. Or I drink coffee at 6 p.m. and it does not affect my sleep negatively. And then we put them in a lab and we do testing on them and their test scores are all affected negatively. So it's one of those things where like drunk drivers think I'm okay to drive. Humans are notorious for thinking that their sleep isn't affected when it is affected. So caffeine's a big one. melatonin, I'm not a fan of. It's a synthetic hormone. It's not a, people think melatonin is like a vitamin or a mineral. It's not. It's a synthetic hormone. And I know a lot of people give it to their children as well. I'd be a much bigger fan of natural melatonin production. We can spend a whole episode on that, but another one, alcohol. People think it's helpful to their sleep. It's actually one of the most damaging things to your sleep. If you're going to drink alcohol in close proximity to going to sleep, you just have to know 100% that's going to affect your recovery for the next day.
Dude, Caleb, you're being a huge party pooper right now.
I know.
I take melatonin every night. So you're really challenging me on this. I've got to think about that. And then when do we drink alcohol? It's when we're hanging out at a party at night.
Like, I know.
What? This is rough, man. But hey, it's truth. I'm open to it.
So if you're going to do alcohol, and I just had some old college buddies fly in. We went out to a bar. I had a beer. Just take some electrolytes with it. That really helps. So when I say electrolytes, potassium, magnesium, and sodium will help to offset that pretty significantly. Better to, let's say you have a beer at 6 p.m. and you go to bed at 10 p.m. That's a lot better than, okay, I had some whiskey at 9:30 and now I'm trying to go to bed at 10 p.m. So just, you know, be aware of these things. I won't even get into supplements right now just because it's really not where people need to focus. People need to focus on the lifestyle. Right. So consistency is massive. You will have heard this before, but consistent sleep time and wake time. So essentially the way sleep works, there's a balance between melatonin and cortisol. So you wake up in the morning, cortisol is rising. And melatonin is going the opposite direction. And then once that cortisol starts to go down, melatonin production increases and then you fall asleep. So you have this constant kind of back and forth between these two chemicals in your brain. So what that means is, let's say, Chris, every night you go to bed at 10 o'clock, but one night you decide to go to sleep at 12 o'clock and you still sleep 8 hours. So you still get a full night's sleep. But your melatonin is so used to peaking at 10 p.m., it's called a melatonin window, that you miss a huge batch of cashing in on that chemical from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m. So you're going to get less quality sleep just because you pushed your sleep time back a couple hours, even though you say, hey, I still slept 8 hours. Yeah, but it wasn't when your body was in prime condition to have that melatonin production. Same thing on the back end. Let's say you get up a couple hours early. It's going to offset that. Most of our REM sleep happens at the late cycles. And so you're saying, well, I went from 7.5 hours. I slept 6.5 hours. That's pretty good. Well, yeah, but you just cut out a huge chunk of the most quality sleep that you can get is on the back end. So 6 hours of sleep is a huge difference between 7.5 hours of sleep. It's a massive difference in terms of your recovery. It's not, people think, well, 4 hours is much worse than 6 hours. Well, it is, but every hour is kind of exponentially worse once you get away from kind of that 7.5 hours, which is really 5 90-minute sleep cycles. So I'm trying not to just throw a ton of information at you, but
this is really good, man. Consistency, that's interesting. So that your body gets into a rhythm of producing melatonin at a regular time, or hopefully if you're consistent with it. And then if you miss that window, it can really affect you. And so I'm thinking about all, so I take my sleep very seriously.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I will get made fun of all the time. Mm. Like, when people come over to hang out at our house and Lisa, she'll laugh about the fact that make sure you leave by 9 o'clock because yes. Mike has to bed down by 9:30.
Yes.
And literally that's what I call it, bedding down. So I do take that seriously, but it does explain to me why when I do stay up late, it really takes a toll on my body. I mean, it really does. If I stay up till midnight, in fact, I did it, I think a week or two ago, something like that for some special occasion. And oh man, I felt it for the next day or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, life happens, right? I mean, I have a 3-month-old, so, you know, and other little children. So I don't stress out too much if I have to be up in the night for something. I know because I'm making great decisions about my sleep on a consistent basis, I also have confidence in my body to be resilient and make up for some of that. So one of the worst things you can do for your sleep is actually stress out about your quality of sleep. So we have to hit that balance of I prioritize my sleep. I make wise decisions about my sleep on a consistent basis, but I also don't panic about my sleep. If, again, like I said, I had some buddies coming in, you know, we stayed up at a bar talking, you know, till close to midnight, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it. You know, I definitely paid for it. But there are some things in life that at times we can, you know, make room for that, and that's okay. But yes, melatonin is consistent. And then also cortisol is consistent in that a great way to kick off that clock, that cortisol time clock, is by getting sunlight in your eyes first thing in the morning. So getting outside, go for a walk. It's better to do this not even through a window, but to actually get natural sunlight in your eyes. I'm not saying stare at the sun, but you can look the direction of the sun 10, 15 minutes in the morning. Boom, kicks off that cortisol clock. So that means you start that cortisol production strategically in such a way that if I can get that started straight away, I know it's going to end at a certain time as well. Whereas let's say you go straight to your office and you sit in darkness for the first 3 hours of your day, your cortisol clock doesn't really kick off until later, which means you're going to be awake until later. So light and temperature are two of the biggest things you can do. It's so funny. All these things just come back to how God designed us, right? Like he designed it to be humans to be awake when it's bright out and to go to sleep when it's dark out, and it's going to get cooler in the night naturally. All these things are cues to your body to produce melatonin essentially. So you can't produce melatonin in the context of light. So as you're doing your bedding down, which there's so much, bedding down is one of the most important things that you can do. I'm using your term. I would call it landing the plane. So you can't just at 30,000 feet directly go towards the,
yes,
you know, what am I trying to say? The runway.
Right, right. Dude, I love that. I love that setting it, or how did you say it? It was landing the plane. I love that.
You got to descend into sleep. And really what that means is allow melatonin production to rise over the course of a couple hours and then fall asleep at the peak of that. And what most people do is, it gets dark outside, but they keep all the lights on in their house. They keep the temperature the exact same. And then they're sending emails till 11 o'clock. And then at 11:05, they say, okay, brain, go to sleep. And you've given your brain 3 hours of stimulation where, again, the two biggest things that are going to fire off chemicals in your brain are coming back to provision and protection. So if you're excited about a project you're working on, boom, your brain is firing on all cylinders. You're not going to be able to sleep or produce melatonin when you're excited. Also, when you're worried about things, you're releasing all the stress hormones, cortisol, adrenaline, you know, all these things are just flooding your brain. And then all of a sudden at 11:05, you say, okay, brain, shut off. Humans are not machines that you can just flip an off switch. You have to, I try to think about what would the perfect day look like for the ancient people. And my guess is when it got dark, they stopped their work. I don't think they needed 12 hours of sleep. They probably would have sat around a campfire and connected with one another in low light and then gone to sleep. And so that's something we try to do in my house is shut off all the overhead lights, especially because even the position of light will actually trigger things in you. So do lamps, do things, have lights that are not blue light. You know, if you are watching TV or something, make sure you're using glasses or some kind of filter. You don't want blue light in your eyes. Again, people say, I sleep fine. Yes, but your quality of sleep is worse. So just try to make it how God designed us to, which is lower all the lights for the last couple hours and connect with people. I try not to do any work 3 hours before sleep, which I know for some people, you're just like, that doesn't work for me. Well, try it because I'm a pretty committed business person and I'm finding quite a bit of success right now with not working the last 3 hours of my day. It's possible. You just restructure it and say, God, I trust that you know what you're doing here.
Caleb, what about white noise? Any studies, pros and cons? That's something that I've used for a long time, especially, I mean, I'm not traveling on business now, but there was a season in my life where I was traveling a lot. And I've got a buddy who is on the road almost every weekday. I mean, he's in a hotel. He puts 80,000 miles on his car every year. I mean, he's just constantly. And so I think in those situations, I tried to use white noise just to give me a familiar environment, I guess, when sleeping in a strange place. So any studies on that? Or is it worthwhile? Is it not worthwhile?
I'm a fan of white noise. Technically, it should be brown noise or pink noise. You can look into this a bit more, but you want to have it be more natural. So I have one of those domes. I don't know if you've seen those, but it's like a natural wind sounding. And they're not expensive. I mean, $30, $50. But rather than, you know, some sound machines are very, there's a frequency to it that sounds very made up, whereas some sound machines sound a lot more natural. So, but I'm a fan of it. Again, I have, you know, four kids and I travel all the time. And so if you can block out the noise, I actually do white noise as well as earplugs. I like the combination of the two just because my wife is getting up all the time with a newborn. And so I like that it masks the noise, but maybe I'm a little bit concerned about the constant, to the degree of how loud my white noise is. I'm like, is this having a negative effect on my ears? So I kind of like that it masks it, but then I also have earplugs to kind of block it out. Right. But yes, white noise, good thing, especially if you're in an environment that there's going to be sounds that wake you up regularly.
I never found a good sound machine that I could travel with. And this is going back years, but I used to do 6-7 weeks where I was in a different city every day doing sales seminars. And I used to beg hotel staff for a fan. Do you have any fans? It'd be the middle of winter somewhere cold. And they'd just give me this look like, who are you? I remember going to Walgreens and buying fans in certain towns and just to basically for one night, cause I couldn't take it with me, but I had to have my fan.
And you can use your phone these days in the pitch, even, you know, Spotify, you type in brown noise, 12 hours, no loop.
I downloaded an app on my phone that I use when I was traveling. Cause the other thing too, is sometimes it'll get quiet, but then often in hotel rooms, they're not totally quiet. So you'll hear people in the hallway and that
will
bug me. Oh, yeah,
never,
drive me nuts.
Never quiet.
But it's interesting you say that though, Caleb, because I stumbled upon brown noise as one of the options in the app and I love it. And it's funny because that's the one I use now versus the white noise. Cause it sounds better to me. Apparently I was created to hear that instead.
There you go.
So then, okay. How about the psyche piece? Did we talk on the psyche at all?
Yes, no. This is the most important one. So if you had insomnia, they would take you through, I don't think I mentioned this, sleep aids are garbage as well. You can spend a whole episode on that, but don't do sleeping pills. It puts you in a state of sedation, not true sleep and recovery. It's different than what your brain does on sleep. So anyway, if you're having insomnia, if you're having issues, the number one thing that you can do to start to change that is what they would call CBTI, which is cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, which essentially just means retraining your brain and your emotions. And so there are two practices, which I find both to be pretty brutal. I didn't do either of these when I was fixing my sleep because I struggled with insomnia. And one of them would be to compress your sleep window. So essentially you're only sleeping about 6 hours a night if you have low quality sleep. So this is if you're waking up in the night, you can't fall back to sleep. They essentially compress your sleep window so that you kind of build up these chemicals in your brain. You're so tired that it forces you into quality sleep.
That doesn't sound good. That would put more pressure on me. It's like, when I can't sleep, I'm watching the clock and it's, oh, now I've only got 3 hours to sleep. That sounds like,
and that can take a long time. So people give up on it, and it's just a brutal process.
Yeah.
The other one is, you know, if you're anxious at night, you probably would have heard to pop up out of bed so that you don't get it in your mind that your bed is a place for anxiety. Again, that's a brutal one. If you've ever felt so exhausted and you're like, I don't want to get up and walk around and these things. So for me, it really was just doing actually deep work to let go of, I mean, it comes back to, sorry, who was the gentleman you did a podcast with on rest?
Gregory Hall.
Yes. Yeah. So I listened to those podcasts. I thought they were fantastic. If you haven't listened to those, go back and listen to them, because actually great sleep starts from having a great rest with God, like finding your provision in God. And so like right now I'm doing a lot of keynote speaking. So I could be, you know, next week I'll speak in front of 500 people in Vegas, and it's not hard for me to be prepping my teaching in my mind while I'm about to go to sleep. And so just really disciplining myself. I have a little mantra that I say to myself of, you're safe and there's nothing you need to do. And just reminding my mind, hey, building something right now does not serve you. Worrying about something right now does not serve you. Letting go of control. And the more I was able to figure that out in my daily life, like not working from a place of being stressed all day. There's basically two ways that people function. People function in fight or flight all day, or they function in, you know, kind of chasing dopamine hits all day. Dopamine hits is what you want, actually, even though I know we do this in manufactured ways through social media or things like that. But it is actually a good thing to pursue things from a place of creativity and accomplishments and performance, as opposed to, let's say you go to work every day stressed out of, I have bills to pay. If I don't get this work done, my family can't eat. Those types of things will keep you up at night. And so doing that deep work to not be restless constantly and not find your identity in your work, again, these are challenging things that we can't just solve on a podcast, but if you can get to a place where you're truly at peace and you say, yeah, I'm excited to get up and work tomorrow, but at the same time, I trust God is actually my provider. I sleep well at night knowing that it's not all resting on me. And so that was more so where I found my success. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those other things that traditional sleep trainers would do, but I think being at peace is a big deal.
Man, that, yeah, go ahead, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you about exercise? And, you know, everything from, you know, when, how much, what the role that it plays in regular sleep.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of sleeping or exercising too close to sleep time, mostly because it raises your body temperature and it's sending signals to your brain that we're doing something serious here. You know, if a couple thousand years ago, you're running away from a tiger and then you're like, okay, time to go to sleep. It's like, hey, is that threat still there? So there's some recent studies that suggest if you're doing weight training closer to when you go to sleep, that can be okay. But I wouldn't do cardio, really close to where you go to sleep, anything that's going to elevate your heart rate significantly. I personally prefer to work out midday, and I work out most days. And the reason for that, there's energy drops throughout your day. So there's a natural drop after lunchtime, a natural drop in your energy. I like to work out during that time, just because it helps me get my brain off. It gives my brain some time to not be working on what I'm working on. I think, you know, it's easy to, a lot of people are working out for the physique, you know, the aesthetic. But I think the best things in terms of working out is variety. So that means including flexibility, including cardio, including weight training. So probably whatever it is that you're doing, there's something in the exercise world that you don't like to do. You should add that into your routine as well. So maybe weight training 3 days a week, cardio at least a couple days a week, and then some flexibility, breath work, being outside in nature. I'm a big fan of, you know, doing some activities. I think there's, you know, playing a sport, recreational, something like that. I think there's some mind muscle connection things there that are interesting, that are different than just I ran on a treadmill for 45 minutes versus I shot hoops with some friends for 45 minutes. So.
Yeah, I play competitive tennis, and I'm in Florida this time of year, and matches are almost always midday. So I get you both on the value of playing them, but also your body at 1 PM. I just have to yeah. dig deep because I yeah. don't have a lot there, you know. But in Ohio in the summer, late spring and summer, our matches are always in the evening, and sometimes they start at like 9:30.
Yeah.
I just dread those, you know, I typically do okay in them, but I don't fall asleep until 2-3 in the morning because I've got the adrenaline, you know, and it's just awful from a sleep standpoint. So, I'm with you there. It's just, you know, and when I've traveled, you know, and had short bits of insomnia because I'm in Europe or Asia, you know, sometimes I would think that I should exercise, you know, I want to make myself tired, so I should exercise now, but it usually didn't have any benefits if I tried it at like 10 o'clock at night. It just, you know, then I just laid there tired in my bed, but I wasn't mm-hmm. sleeping. So sounds like, you know, when you're trying to get in a good rhythm, morning or early afternoon would be much better than evening in terms of working
yeah,
out.
I've been in the health world for a long time, and I'm a big fan of listening to our bodies. So that comes to food, comes to hydration, comes to exercise. You know, hydration, it's such a fad these days to like pound water all day. And I'm like, every question for me with yeah. health starts from, is this how God designed us to function? And I cannot imagine, you know, Jesus walking around with his 2-gallon bottle of water, just like, oh, I don't want to pound another, you know, drink here, but the health experts are telling me right. it's best for me. And so are there times when I have to dig deep and overreach when it comes to exercising? Yes. Where I say, okay, I'm going to push myself beyond what, you know, I want, what is comfortable for me. Yeah. But I just am not really as structured with these things when I'm traveling. You know, if I have a big keynote the next day and I had an early flight, I'm very disciplined in terms of energy management. And so if I know, okay, I'm going to invest an hour into working out, that's energy that I'm not going to be able to use somewhere else. And for me, it's just worth it to not mm-hmm. work out that day that I'm traveling, because I want to be full energy delivering this keynote the next day. And there's some days where I feel like lethargic, and I'm like, man, a walk would feel really great right now, or, you know, lifting weights would feel really great right now. Yeah. And so, yeah, give yourself some space, I think, to see how you feel. And, you know, it's not a one size fits all, especially for traveling. If you're so depleted, I would just say probably, you know, even looking at the effect that working out is going to have on your body, if you're so depleted and you're getting a lack of sleep, you're probably not getting hardly any bang for your buck anyway. So feel free to just be like, well, I didn't yeah. work out that day. And, you know, it's still work. And this is yeah. coming from somebody who, you know, I recently did a High Rocks competition, which I don't know if you're familiar with High Rocks, but it's a combination of running and lifting. Uh-huh. It is brutal. It's kind of like CrossFit, like a CrossFit competition, essentially. So, you know, I'm in the exercise world, and I'm telling you to give yourself some grace and some freedom there.
That's really good. Holy cow. Caleb, this time has absolutely flown by, brother.
Yes.
This was really, really valuable, though. I'm so grateful for the work you're doing, for the really valuable information you shared with us and our listeners. I've got several takeaways for myself, and I consider myself, like I said, I feel like I'm really good at getting sleep, but it sounds like I'm going to have to wean off the melatonin. I need to stop maybe watching or reading educational things, before bed, or trying to do, because there are times where I'm inspired to write something and I want to do, you know, something to build something. I kind of need to let that go. Maybe I just spend time listening to scripture, you know what I mean? Just to put my mind at ease. And
Well, Mike, let me ask Caleb about that, because I have the same thing. That's okay. I know you're getting ready to wrap up, but so there are times where I'm getting ready to go to bed, or even I wake up in the middle of the night and I've got this problem I'm trying to solve, or there's something I want to write down. I think it's better to write it down rather than try to, I don't know, wait till the next day. Caleb, your thoughts on that? I mean, when you've got that one in the morning thing that just won't let go, what do you do?
Yeah, I would. So I have a filter on my phone. You can Google this, but if I click my phone three times, it turns red. And so red light really helps at night, actually kind of mimics the sunset. And so I will pull out my phone and just make a little note on my phone. If I thought of a great illustration for a sermon or something, make a little note, let it go, revisit it the next day. I'm kind of torn on reading before bed, because I do think it's one of the best things you can do before bed, but not something that gets you too excited. And so, and that can be the word of God for me as well, or listening to a sermon where I'm like, Oh my goodness, I've never heard this before. I got to dive deeper into this. And now I am just all excited.
Right.
And so I'm careful with my reading in the evening. And oftentimes I'll actually do some reading of sports before I go to bed, like the last 20 minutes, you know, just like randomly look at sports. And I really don't care, you know, to hear people talking about sports. And if I can shift my mind from something I'm really excited about, that's actually helpful for me.
All right, man. Caleb, thank you so much, man. So if folks want to find you online, if they want to follow you, or maybe take in some other content you might offer them, or see you speak somewhere, where would they go to find you?
Yeah, you can. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. So Caleb M. Spittler, you can find me there. And then I've just set this up, but you can text sleep to 33777. And I know I threw so much information to you, and people are trying to write these things down. If you were listening in your car and you're like, I just want all this information in like a nice PDF, again, text sleep to 33777. And I will get you a PDF with that information.
All this will be in the show notes, guys. You can check it out there. All right, Caleb, let me pray for you, man, as we close out here. Oh, God, you are the God who gives rest. You are the one, Father, that provides the sleep we need, Lord. You made us to sleep, to depend on you, to stop working, Lord. And Father, that is a foreshadowing of what we'll experience eternally with you in heaven, God. Thank you for Caleb. Thank you for Caleb. Lord, and the work he's doing to inform people about sleep and to help people to sleep better, God, this is such a deeply spiritually significant thing for us, Lord. And Lord, these are some great practical tips we can take away to use. So I pray, Lord, that as guys are listening to this, Father, that they would implement some of these things. And as Caleb moves forward in his speaking and all the other things he's got going on, Lord, I pray that you'd provide for him. You'd protect his wife and his growing family from the evil one, Father. As he ventures out to make a difference for you in this kingdom, we know, God, that he will be under attack. And so pray for your hedge of attack, protection around him, Lord. Thank you for this time together, God. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Caleb. It was great to be with you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.